I see it in all our faces right now. Just like absolutely. Women who are on the verge of doing well. So well. So yeah, close to doing so
when
well.
I've knit a little Christmas sweater for my Miro action figure, that's when I'll have reached peak mental health.
Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings wrestling podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
And it's Thursday.
Oh my God, it's Thursday. We're back in the studio in the regular time.
The same bat time, the same bat channel. The week's almost over. The wrestling was good this week.
It was good.
Yeah, wild.
I'm riding high.
I'm in a really good mood. It's been a long time since I've just had a good week, but I'm like, what a good week.
Every little thing is going to be all right this week. Am I right, ladies? It's supposed to be 50 degrees here tomorrow. 50
wow.
degrees!
In boom, Minnesota. Baby.
That's summer.
Do you guys have snow on the ground?
We did. I haven't looked out the windows recently.
Well, that's a little troubling.
Yeah, as I said it, I was like, oh, Allie. The last time I really remember looking out the window was yesterday, and there was a little snow on the ground, but not that much, and it could be gone by now. As I said, I haven't checked or left the house.
So. Okay, well, you just made me look at my own weather, and tomorrow is going to be, like, normal cold, but holy shit, Monday's going to be 62.
Oh, shit.
Wow. What are we doing out, here? That's crazy.
Break out the shorts. Sundays,
go to the beach.
Okay. Well, before we talk about the wrestling that's made us feel so benevolent and delighted, we'll just remind you that if you have not yet listened to the bonus pod that we released with Rich Latta from One Nation Radio, you should go do that. It was a great episode. Rich was just the best guest, and we had such a blast with him.
So many people have been reaching out to say that it's fantastic, and I'm like, it was. It really was.
No,
like, Rich, yeah, did Rich a fantastic job. Yeah. Yeah, but honestly, like, Rich tweeted and said that he had more fun on that podcast than on any podcast he's ever done. And to me, like, if no one listened at all but Rich had a great time, that's a successful
podcast.
That would
have been enough. I felt so honored when he said that. I was like, thank you. We are fun. We're fun to be with. We're pleasures to have in class.
We had, and we had so much fun with Rich. He was the greatest.
He was a delight. It was great to get to sit down with him and talk about some topics that we've long wanted to pick his brain about. And he was very nice to us and just let us ask him so many things. So we had a great time.
We did.
It was fantastic.
Anyway, go listen to that. And I think that's all the business we got to take care of. Are we just getting right down to it, down to brass tacks?
I'll just say really quickly, I did start a war on Twitter with our podcast, Waffly Bollocks.
Do you feel emotionally comfortable talking about it right now? You're in a good place to talk about
no,
it.
No, I actually am not. I was embarrassed and I was humiliated. I asked our listeners to come out and support me in my time of need, and they didn't.
They didn't.
The troops did not materialize.
Explain the war, Leah. Explain the war.
What is the point of having a podcast if you doesn't create an army that you can sick on people?
No point, and that's why we're shutting it down as of this week. This is our last podcast. You won't be hearing from us again because you didn't get out and vote.
Last week on Waffy Bollocks, they usually end their pod with like a question that they'll ask each other, like just a goofy question. And Sarah asked MJ who she would trust with her to cat sit. And they were just talking about various wrestlers. First of all, they rated the Elite. This is just an MJ bashing hour. Sorry, MJ. Kenny first, which is true. Then Hangman, also true. Then Nick. For some reason, crazy.
Absolutely not.
Then Matt. And I was like, I think MJ said he was, I forget what she said, that he was too silly, maybe?
Excuse me, Matt Jackson?
Yeah. And then she moved on to Best Friends and was like, oh, Orange Cassidy would be a great cat sitter. I was like, absolutely he don't know not. Nothing. He would not remember that he told you he'd feed your cat.
He wouldn't remember.
So I tweeted at them to let them know that our relationship, our business relationship, had been severed. And Sarah from Waffly Bollocks posted a poll to get our mutual listeners to decide the question. Yeah. And I was humiliated.
Yeah, it didn't really go that well for you. No,
it was kind of a landslide for Orange Cassidy and which against Matt Jackson.
Will come out and say on record, that isn't right.
Thank you.
I mean, is this a safe space? Oh, you think that Orange Cassidy would be a good cat sitter?
I think he'd be better than Matt Jackson. I don't think he'd be good at it, but I think he'd be better than Matt Jackson, who I think has no interest in cat sitting. I think he would just be like, nope. Absolutely.
Allie, do you think that Rich would want to take the third seat in our...
You know what? Can't hurt to ask. Cannot hurt to ask.
You know, I don't feel that strongly about it, so I wasn't going to argue with you about it. I was like, I'll let Leah have this one. It's fine, but...
A snake in my own bosom.
I know. And I did vote on Twitter and on Tumblr.
Did you vote against me?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. This is rough.
Why did you bring this up at the beginning of the pod? We got to now record the whole pod with this.
Well, I wasn't going to bring it up at all, but the topic.
Yeah. That Leah said top Leah of the hour. It. Let's get True. It all yeah. out there.
Yeah, I wish I could memory wipe the whole thing because now I'm just... Can't really make eye contact with Anne. Just really disappointed.
Well, the people are on my side, so, you know.
All right, whatever. Let's talk about wrestling. Whatever.
You don't think this is talking about wrestling? Hey, anyone watch any good TV this week? Just kidding. We did. It's called Wrestling Television. AEW, Wrestling Television. Television. Allie. Okay.
Do you think this episode is going well?
Probably fine. Oh, yeah. I earlier when I went to mock up our schedule, I thought to myself, we already did one great episode this week, so everything else can be slop. This could be slop.
And so true.
Yeah. It's like you already got great food this week, so a little slop isn't going to hurt you.
Yeah, it's like you don't cook both
sitter.
I hope that we get new listeners from that episode that was like, wow, that bonus episode was fantastic. They're smart. They're funny. They're witty. And then they start this one and they're like, bitch, what is this?
You got to learn. You got to learn slop. What the actual content is. Slop. Sexy, sexy slop. Speaking of sexy slop.
Sexy slop.
Maybe that's what should go on our 3-year bracelets.
Oh. Sexy slop. Huh.
That's what I don't the podcast hate it. Is.
Yeah. Sort of emblematic.
Just roll it around, get a sense of the mouthfeel, you know? We'll ruminate on that. Okay, so after a week of childhood photos and reminiscings about how they were more than brothers, Christian and Adam Copeland fought in Montreal, and those old men really did it. They really
they did it.
They really did do it, and we were out of the game for a while. I was bored. I wasn't getting what I needed from them.
Yeah.
But now I'm getting everything I need from them. I mean, it's like every part of the food pyramid is being taken care of by Christian and Cope.
You know how once in a while, like, men will watch, like, a real, like, Graps wrestling match, and they'll be like, this is pro wrestling. That's how I felt watching Christian and Edge have erotic, romantic, friend, platonic, sexual, everything energy at each other.
Their bodies are on each other in a way that's so easy but violent. And commentary is reminding me these men have known each other their whole lives.
They've
slept together in rooms across the country.
They were in the car together, in hotel beds together, over 40 years of you fill in the blanks.
Commentary says if you are noting that these men are so familiar with each other's bodies and that's what makes it easy for them to hurt each other, we've got your back. That is what we are happy to drive home for you. And I said, thank you so much. Give me more.
Yeah.
Thank you. Give me more.
The fact that there was an actual old man yaoi sign on TV.
Amazing.
So amazing. Funny.
I really, that was a moment where I really thought, like, are we penetrating the demo? Like, are we actually, like, are we starting to make changes to the great sport of wrestling? Us, the girlies? Are we doing it?
I do think, like, there's not many of us proportionally, but the ones that are there are really there. You know what
we're
I
really
mean?
Really there. And yeah. we do all know each other. I mean, I'm constantly surprised by how small our little freak community is. But powerful. Yep. And maybe getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes you think. So they did that. They were fighting. Christian, very desperate to win, not afraid to cheat. He knocked out referee Bryce Remsburg, and he tried to take Cope out with the belt, the very powerful belt. But then they ended up double spearing each other. This looked really cool. I felt like
it
a little
did
kid.
Look really
I was
cool.
Just like,
I loved
looks
it.
Really cool. They're so big, but they hit each other at the same time, knocked out. And at this juncture, Shayna Wayne came out. She picked up the belt while Christian and Cope are still lying prone, getting their wits back about them. And she was debating whether or not to hit Adam Copeland or Christian. So Christian being the man who stole her son away to be his son. And Adam Copeland, of course, beat Nick Wayne to a pulp right in front of her a few weeks back.
You didn't want to use the nicknames you used in the schedule?
They call them the patriarch and elf, and that's who they are to me.
He does have elf energy.
He does. It's just right. And so ultimately she did decide to hit Adam Copeland with the belt. Can we take a quick pause? The fact that these Peasley little belts in the world of kayfabe wrestling are so heavy that just anybody can hit it. Like, it doesn't, the smallest person could hit the biggest person with a belt and it would kill him.
Yeah.
Just sometimes just think about that and just feel like, wow.
And sometimes like the hit itself doesn't even seem that powerful. It's like they touch. If you get touched with the belt when you're not expecting it, it takes you out.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's a lot of magical realism in wrestling, and I would enjoy it if they leaned into it a little bit more, I think, sometimes.
I love that you put it that way. That is going to stay with me. So she did hit Adam Copeland. He passed out. Christian kill switched him. He stomped on his neck. He waited for Bryce to wake up, and he won the match. What do you guys think about just all of this and the outcome?
I really, really, really loved the match. I didn't really know if Shayna's showing up worked that well, but like the match was really fun.
Yeah, I wasn't opposed to her coming in, and I do think it's exciting that Christian has finally successfully grabbed a MILF from one of his sons.
Yeah, that's huge for him.
He struck out with Jungle Boy's mom, but he got there with
so
Nick
far.
Wayne's mom.
So but if he started collecting a faction of moms, like, listening.
Oh, my God. Tom Green on Twitter, Noli's father, tweeted that when Noli was watching this, he was just quietly saying to himself, heal mom, heal mom, heal, heal mom. I was fucking losing it. Heal mom.
Christian with a faction of fatherless sons and their heel mom mothers. It's not nothing.
Wow. I think I've been convinced now. I also felt a little bit like, I don't know what role Shayna Wayne is playing in this storyline in a real sense, like going forward, like who is Shayna? You know, I don't really know that much about her. She's just sad about her son. But I haven't really met her, have I? I said to myself. But I didn't care because I was having such a good time. I said, that hot mom is welcome to come out anytime she feels like she wants to. And that's me. I'm permissive when it comes to hot moms. I say, all moms, actually. Say to all the moms out there, I say this from the bottom of my heart. Do what you want.
We've actually seen a lot of moms in AEW, actually, as you say that. Yeah.
We have. Sue.
Sue. Yeah.
Like, they're never moms. Met
Jungle Boy's mom.
Jungle Boy's mom. Nick Wayne's mom.
I guess the Bucks mom has been on TV a couple times.
Bucks
she
mom.
She has.
Yep.
Bucks mom.
For sure.
Yeah. So that's some moms that we know.
So there's,
And again, you can't get this content anywhere else. No one
Dave
else is going to be saying
is
it.
Not counting moms.
He is never going to sit there. Actually, Dave Meltzer is a man who, it's like if you backed him into the right corner, he would accidentally get stuck just naming
start
moms,
listing moms. Yeah.
While Brian Alvarez is so like, hard to move around. We just got to move on. We can't talk about that anymore. Bruiser Brody's mom was on an episode. Okay, Dave.
Let's in 1983.
Yeah. Okay. What else do we have here? Oh, so what do you think is next for the old men? Do you think that this win from Christian is going to hold? Are we getting a little, you think a little rematch maybe?
It can't hold. There has to be a rematch at World's End. Like, it can't end like this.
Yeah.
No.
And I do want to see them. They've gotten me like pretty hyped to see them eventually someday tag together too. So like I'm ready to go on the full circle ride. This time next year, I want to see them tagging, you know.
Would you want Christian to pull Cope heel or Cope to pull Christian face?
Christian to pull Cope heel, I think.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree.
I never want to see Christian as a face again.
Gay dads. No. Gay dad tag team.
Double
patriarch. the most evil thing of all.
Yeah. And Cope already like beat the crap out of Nick Wayne. So, you know, he's like halfway there.
That's true.
In front of his mom.
He knows how fun it can be to do bad, to do wrong.
Yeah.
I agree. I want to see him tag together, but I do want to take me on the journey.
Yeah. Let's I got to go on the full journey.
Let's not go too slow, but let's not go too fast. Let's go the exact right speed and
progress steadily, moving a little bit every week until you get to where you're going.
It's simple. I don't know why they struggle with this when we know so clearly what you have to do.
Not too fast, not too slow. Can you find
it? Exact right speed.
Exact right speed.
Are you there yet, Tony? Are you with us? Exact right speed. Just a little every week. Okay. Anything else that you want to say about Christian Cage and Adam Copeland?
It's so interesting how my interest levels have started high, took a nosedive, and now they're back up. I mean, they really they should go back and study the tape and be like, what did we do right? What did we do wrong?
Well, FTR briefly got involved.
I was just going to say, I think it was pretty clear. I've got one of those markers, and I'm circling on the TV.
Here's your problem.
Here's what you went wrong.
I don't want to see this ever again. I think it was FTR probably. I think it just felt like it was.
It kind of stalled out a little bit.
Yeah, it kind of stalled out because they were approaching the pay-per-view.
Yeah, and Cope had those, like, he had like 3 weeks of like long meandering promos where he was just repeating himself, and that kind of cooled it a little bit. But then Christian got all of us back with that promo.
Christian got us all back.
He's doing the carrying in this story for sure, yeah.
But then Cope did step it up. I think it was really good for him, as it is for all wrestlers, really, when they show up, to leave happy to be here mode, which he did much quicker than some other people I can name.
For sure.
And to just be like, oh, now I'm steamed. And he did, in fairness, cut that promo on Collision against Christian that made me sit up and say, hello. Yeah. Hello, I see you there. You angry man, you look sexy to me right now because I sense your rage.
It's right. It really is the when they give them a promo space in time that's too long for what they actually have to say. That's when you start drowning in it.
Yeah.
All the dead air.
Do you think that we should do a little Photoshop that's like, you know, when you go to PetSmart and you're adopting cats or whatever, and then on the cage door it'll just have like some info about the cat where it's like Buddy loves to scream but like he'll be nice if you give him kisses. I just want to do that for the rest.
It would be a funny little Photoshop job. Yeah.
Why did that occur to me right now?
What do you want to say about Cope? What would you write on his little cage?
Oh, he's fun when he gets worked up. He may seem nice, but actually, he's a bad boy, and that's when he's at his most fun. Something like that.
Nice.
Like, if you bait him, like, the monster will come out and play. Like, something like that. And then people are going to say, like, oh, I'll adopt him. wrestler. Leah, did I cut you off? Did you have something to say?
No, I was going to just be like, if you get him riled up, he's great. Don't leave him on a mic too long.
I don't know why in my head, like, suddenly it was like, I'm just imagining a wrestler just standing there looking confused. Like, it's like, he's just like, what am I doing here? Well, and he's scared. It's not, take that mic away and take him backstage and give him some quiet downtime. Needs it. Okay, we got to move on. For once this week, we had some exciting new developments in MJF world, though we did also have a little same old, same old. So MJF was scheduled for a tag team match with Samoa Joe versus the Devil's Henchmen on Dynamite. Roddy actually came out earlier in the show with his henchmen to reiterate for the 100,000th time his theory that MJF is the devil. This time he kept being like, Samoa Joe, listen to me. Like, he's going to turn on you. Don't trust MJF, which I thought was very strange because I was like, why do you give a shit, buddy?
Roddy's motivations said, I mean, so many things really broke when Adam Cole got hurt, but Roddy's motivations have not added up at all. At first, he was like, I'm going to be friends with MJF because it's the only way to get back into Adam Cole's heart. And then it's just been, like, incredible, like, from that moment being like, wait, that doesn't make any sense. If your plan is to get back with Adam Cole, then none of this makes any sense. So I don't know what the hell he's doing.
Just screaming. That's what it says on his cat cage. Can't stop screaming. We haven't found what will stop the screaming. Maybe his hand.
His adoptive families keep bringing him back because he won't stop screaming. People in the arena love to yell at him, though. Like, yeah, it's crazy, but it has to stop.
It has to stop, and it's spreading to other people. Like, I don't like the Renee, like Samoa. Like, I was like, okay, this is a little.
The thing is that, like, the screamed Adam works in its pure state when Roddy is actively calling out for Adam. Like, that is what's funny about it, is Roddy's desperation for Adam to come to him.
It's the Adam, I can't see you. Well, open your eyes, buddy. That's where it works. Yeah.
It's not funny when he's just screaming any name he comes across. It's like, that's impure.
It's remember so funny. When his patheticness was just like, he was a pretty regular guy, but he just was
good.
Yeah, it was great.
It's I miss so you, OG funny. Pathetic Roddy.
It's so funny how much they struck gold, but in a very specific way. And then everybody lost it the moment Adam Cole got hurt. Everything went off the rails. And
he
now
was holding the whole thing together. And they were like, well, we're just going to kind of keep repeating our one part in it because people seem to like it. It's like, no.
That's funny because in a way it is like, actually so I'm not enjoying it, but it's swinging me back around to say like, well, that actually is really pathetic, Roddy.
You have advantage. It's like, to oh, pivot poor Roddy.
Wait a
now
second.
Now I'm like, do I love Roddy, actually?
Roddy is actually the most pathetic man. We're back in the game. Okay, well, so he did that, and then he threw his wheelchair off the ramp and got up and walked because he said he wasn't going to be like hampered by his... He wasn't going to something. What did he say? Something. I don't know. He said, I'm not in a wheelchair anymore. I'm
was
walking.
This the promo? Was he the one that was like, all my life I've suffered consequences for my actions and I'm no longer going to suffer consequences?
Okay, that actually is
stood up.
That actually is really funny. Roddy has his moment. It's just that he is just, he's actually not a comedian. He's a pathetic man. And so we've expected too much of him because he's genuine. Pathetic. Okay. So then later in the show, Renee was backstage at MJF's door. I think she was supposed to film a segment with him or something. Hangman walks into the shot. He and Renee have a back and forth where he's coming on a little ag being like, oh, are you filming? I don't care, Renee. Very sweet. He did stutter a little when he said it, which I think is so sweet. he said, okay, I'll be mean. And then he addressed Swerve and basically was like, Swerve, I accept that you've won this round, basically, but we're connected forever. Again, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you to the men. Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. We're connected forever because of the violence we did to each other. And I think he said, is this right, that I'll never let you win the AEW World Championship. Do you say that?
Yeah. Well, he said, I know what you want most in the world, and I'll never let you have it. So it was a little ambiguous. But,
okay, good.
I mean, but clearly it was the title and Hangman's Body, you know.
So. Oh, my gosh. Wow. And Allie had gone far, far away. She wasn't in the podcast anymore because she had to think about that. Just
there was
a little
something
bit.
In that promo where he said something like, I've taken something from you that you'll never get back. Yeah. And I was sitting alone in my living room and I just said to myself, his virginity.
I love Hangman. I love Swerve. And I love their promos. I love what they say about each other.
And I'm so happy with the knowledge Rich gave us that's like Swerve knows. Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he's aware. Yeah, I like being pandered to. It doesn't happen to us a lot in wrestling shows, and it feels amazing.
It feels fucking amazing. And so then MJF came out of his dressing room and immediately started sniping at Hangman. They were getting into it a little, and Hangman was just like, whatever, see ya, buddy. So he leaves. Hangman's talking to Renee. MJF's talking to Renee. Hangman comes right back into the shot and is like, you know what, never mind. And he and MJF promoed on each other for a little bit. Max accused Hangman of being the devil. Hangman was like, that's absolutely crazy. You are the devil for sure. You've been a snake your whole life and you always will be. They almost came to blows. Samoa Joe jumped in to protect MJF and to be like, I think he said like, I'm in charge of him or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Something like that where it was like, are you?
I realize that was your relationship.
I don't want this to come off as too complimentary about for Samoa Joe, yeah. But he did give that promo like 2 weeks ago where he said to MJF, you are my property now, I own you. And so yeah, for him to continue this and be like, no, I'm in charge, I own you, do not get into scraps with the Hangman.
Funny how from someone else's mouth that would have electrified me, and with Samoa Joe I barely remember it.
But you are right, Leah. We should give him his due for coherent character work. So,
well, you know me. I love to be fair to people.
I know that about you. I do know that about you. Look at you. You're recording here with Anne after what she said earlier.
I know.
That's
pretty fair.
That's true.
That's pretty fair.
You just reminded me again.
Sorry.
The chemistry takes a real dive here. Yeah. We're going to feud at our next pay-per-view, though. Don't worry. We set it up.
Okay, so
we'll clap at each other and then we'll have people vote on whose clap was the best.
Oh my god.
Okay,
that's unfair advantage. We're gonna do something none of us have ever done before, like axe throwing or something. Has anyone done that?
No, I have not.
I know I'll suck at it, so I won't be participating maybe, but you two are fighting each other. I'm not fighting anyone. I'm the ref. Oh,
the
I'm
ref,
in danger.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm in danger. As a referee?
Heel Anna is going to knock you out.
Yeah, with the belt.
I am the one who will be injured. Okay, so anyway, so they did that. Later, Samoa Joe came out for the tag team match with the Devil's Henchmen, and we got the full, like, lights out, strobe light, little men running around the ring. I guess that means the Devil's Henchmen. I don't know. And we got a video of MJF backstage, laid out on the ground, butt up, having been knocked out by a smashed beer bottle. Dun dun. Thoughts?
No.
I am starting. I mean, the devil stuff could be over. Like that stuff.
I don't know. You're saying you would like it to be, not that it actually is. Just to be clear. Like I
if
could
only.
Stop. Eating that, like I could be full of devil enough.
I'm full. I am full. I'm done with devil.
Yeah. At this point, I don't think there's anything they could do with the devil that would make me be like, that was cool.
I think at this point, like they've kind of talked me into being like, okay, if MJF is the devil, then fine. Like, okay,
yeah,
for sure. Like, that's as good as anything.
I'll let him do anything if it just ends it, because I don't mind if a storyline goes on for a long time. But we have not, I know this sounds so fucking stupid, we haven't learned anything about the devil's motivations.
The characterization of the devil is all over the place.
We have not been receiving new information about this big bad over the course of the season that makes us understand new things or fear new things. Like, it's just the same ghost that's been popping up on screen. It's like if you never learned anything about Saw, you know? Right? Like, and you do. You actually do. Oh. You actually do.
No, it's like you're getting to the point in Lost where you're like, early on, you're like, they know where they're going, guys. Like, I mean, I never thought this about Lost because I watched The X-Files before Lost and I, you know, was disenchanted with television mysteries long ago. But you're like, this is definitely going somewhere. I'm paying attention to the clues. I'm going to figure it out. And then you're like, they don't know where this is going. None of this is going to pay off. They're going to try to surprise me by picking something random out of the air. So, like, what's the point? I'm not putting any more energy into this.
Yeah. Fool me once, agreed. Shame on you. Fool me twice, won't get fooled again.
Exactly.
George W. Bush.
Won't get fooled again. So, like, if they make it MJF now, it's like, I don't believe that they've intended for it to be MJF the whole time. It's just, like, yeah. They want to, like, do whatever they've decided to do at this point.
No, I mean, I think it's, you know, I know that there's no way that, like, they'd ever tell us, because that's just not how wrestling works. But I think that they had an idea of who the devil was when Adam Cole got injured. Like, and that was going to be either part of Adam Cole either turning on MJF or not turning on MJF. But I think they had a plan. And I think whatever that plan is got thrown out. And it was just a limbo for the past month while everybody tried to figure out, you know, what direction the river was flowing. And then now they must have a new plan. And it's a completely different plan than whatever it was, which means that the story zoomed out. Makes absolutely no sense. But it's sort of like, well, it's 11:35 and the show's got to go on.
And you know what? It's like, that's okay. That's like, it's like I have watched seasons of American Horror Story that I liked very much that had quite a similar vibe. That's camp. It can be camp for it to not simply not make any sense, but we just commit to it and we run in that direction. And that's I'm not saying it will be fine because I don't know what's going to happen, but it could be fine. And I feel good about the idea that we have a new direction because we do need that. We do need a new direction.
We certainly do, yeah.
And we had this promo with Hangman, and Hangman was going in on a new angle with MJF where he was like, you're full of shit, just be fucking honest for once in your life, which I like as a way for someone to approach MJF because, of course, like, MJF's, like, people aren't really calling him in that enough, kind of. And Hangman being involved in this at all is interesting because... hopefully it means something cool and new could happen.
Yeah. It is interesting, especially because it's like, if the new plan involves like the devil being MJF, but then like MJF loses the belt and that's going to like Hangman and MJF feud outside of the belt. Like, that's not terrible. You know what I mean? Like, there's a couple different options here where I'm like, okay, you're using your brain. Who knows? Maybe they won't. But, like, I'm like,
who is the one using the brain, would you say? just someone is back there.
Someone back there.
There's one brain the backstage, and who do we think is using it right now?
Guys, who checked the brain out? You know, if you check the brain out, you have to leave your name. You have to leave a form of government identification. You can't be running around with the brain and we have no record of it. Then we don't have a brain to use, do we?
Yeah. I felt like I love this promo. I thought it was really well executed with MJF and Hangman. Like, it was, the back and forth was really good. They were both like hitting hard. Like, Hangman's great. I think I also felt like, oh God, we're putting like a new, like, we've already got so many people involved with MJF and now we're like throwing another one in the stew. And so it was just like, well, this could go well. Like, I definitely want them to pivot and change what they're doing. So that's good, but I feel like it just kind of made me feel like this is all such a shit show and our, like, what are we doing here? I don't know. I just feel like I had a profound, like, breaking of trust at Full Gear. So I'm like, I think, Leah, you said this a couple weeks ago, but it's like you want to jump 6 months in the future and be like, oh, like, things are fine now, or I see where they went and that was okay. You know, because it's like, if they just want me to memory hole the last few months, like, I will at some point for sure do it happily. But like right at this moment, I'm like, where are we pivoting? This has all been such a mess for so long that it's hard to be like, oh, now things are good.
I guess. I mean, this is so like unfair, but it's like, I agreed with you before when I thought that there was too many people in the MJF stew, but for some reason I'm like, yeah, but putting Hangman in it is a guaranteed, you know, like that's like throwing a bulb of garlic into the stew. It's like, yeah, that's going to be fine. Like there's very few stews that don't do well. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
for me, I'm like, it's Hangman, whatever they're going to do, Hangman's going to make me interested. So I'm not mad. I'm not mad at whatever's going to happen.
I can see that. I think I also just feel like it feels like a bit of a capitulation to me, like to have Hangman like touch the MJF world. It does feel to me like Tony being like, I give up. You won't stop talking to me about this, man. Fine. Have your Hangman. And it's like, I fucking will, Tony. I will. I need him. I'll have him. He can touch anything he wants. He should be everywhere. So I don't know. It's not that I have trust. I think we're in such like, to me, it's just such a funny place to be in now where it's like, oh, you don't know who the devil is. And the devil storyline is the most nonsensical it's ever been. And I feel like it's like you have to solve it within a month or, you know, the clock's going to run out and we're stuck in the Goblin Kingdom forever. Whatever. It's December. It was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if we like shut down the Smojo and Roddy stuff like by World's End and then move into like a Hangman space with like a Hangman Swerve world title, you know, like in the mix with MJF, like then that's all good. But yeah, hopefully we
gotta do. I guess so. Hangman is gonna fight Roddy next mm-hmm. week. Is that correct?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
I hope he really
beats his ass.
I really wasn't listening when that was happening. And so I was just like, wait a minute, what?
And I don't understand. I think I don't understand why it's happening.
No.
Well, that's okay. I don't mind.
I mean, I'm going to see Hangman, so that's fine.
I'm excited to see Hangman. He's going to take his shirt off for sure. He's not like Matt Jackson, who now sometimes doesn't take his shirt off. Hangman's going to take his shirt off.
You know, Roddy's going to yell at him.
Oh, my God. I didn't until you just said it.
Does that change your feelings?
No. I'm filled with the spirit of the season. Merriment and joy to all. You there, boy. What day is it? It's Christmas. The spirits did it all in one night. That's me. That's a great move. I don't know what's going to happen, but... is there anything else in the MJF stuff that we really want to talk about that I missed?
Not really.
No. Okay, let's move on. Oh, let's fucking move on because we aren't talking about the Connie. We are talking about the Continental Classic. I am a Connie girl. I love the Continental Classic. I love sports. And that's the whole thing. I won't be saying anything else. I just say Connie, Connie, Connie. Oh, no, I can read the rest of my description. It's easy for me. Okay. Let's talk about... So I split this into the gold group and the blue group, and we'll check in about what's been going on in both groups. So in the gold group, Mox and Roosh opened Dynamite this week. They... I don't know why I typed any of this. They went hard. Yeah, okay. They fought each other really hard. Roosh has hardly any back knee anymore. We have a couple of us noticed that. Mm-hmm. And Mox eventually choked Roosh out, leading the referee, Paul Turner, to call the match for Mox. Roosh almost immediately woke up, was furious, just bullying around the ring. Afterwards tweeted that the ref didn't even check right. He wasn't knocked out. He didn't tap, and he shouldn't have lost. To me... Roosh losing but being a sore loser in kayfabe is great. I'm obsessed with it. I love it.
It is the funniest way for like a guy who doesn't like to lose to like express that, I think.
I was obsessed with his post match promo that yeah. they put on Twitter where he got so mad he just started yelling in Spanish. And it wasn't like the Penta thing. It was just more like he literally hadn't noticed he'd slipped into Spanish and was just like yelling and screaming. And I was like so into it. Just losing it.
I think someone else, one of his little lackeys ahead of time, I just don't remember which one, had said, like, you can talk to him, he's right here, but you're not going to like it. And I just loved that as a setup.
I know. And his other I don't know what he was saying in Spanish, but the same lackey, like, was, like, grabbed his shoulder and was like, okay, you're not going to do anything to Mox backstage.
I think it's good that he has a supportive little crew that are taking care of him, calming him down. Keeping him on the straight and narrow. Love you,
Rouge. We're LFI girls now.
Yeah, we're LFI girlies. Okay, so Rouge did lose, but he is technically still in the running. He could still win his group. Unlike his compatriots, Jay Lethal and Mark Briscoe, who lost their respective matches with Jay White and Swerve Strickland. And they have been, and this is such a, it's a cool new world, the phrase that we learned, because we're sports girlies now, they've been mathematically eliminated. But they still have to wrestle the rest of their matches, which I personally love.
Yeah. I hope they really, like, lean into it in some way. I feel like they might not, but it's like, boys, if you came out there, like, bitter little, like, oh, I can't believe I have to wrestle. There's no point. Like, I would enjoy that. It'd be funny.
Well, they so, did. Like, it's Jay and Mark Briscoe that are mathematically eliminated, and I could see Mark Briscoe kind of kicking his heels and stomping in, sort of, but I think Jay Lethal is going to immediately start, like, trying to undermine the classic, which I don't know how he would do, but, like, I can imagine that his vibe is going to be a little bit more evil.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know how he could because there's no interference allowed in the Connie, as you know, us Connie girls know. But I'm interested in that idea that he could be just trying to weasel things off the tracks. Okay, so we did get post-match promos from I think every man in this group. I loved some of these post-match promos. We'll get into it. How are we feeling? Where's everybody else on? In terms of how they're feeling about the Connie.
I'm having fun. I think I judged it in the very beginning because I just thought it was going to be another tournament that didn't really matter. And especially because the first week, all of the matches were pretty, like, I could have predicted all of them, but I am more into it. Like the promo style, the fact, like, yeah, they're random matchups, but because they're all like really good wrestlers, it's like all of the matches have been bangers, and so I'm sort of like, okay, yeah, the sports guys can take this W.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm having a lot of fun too. I think now that we're getting to the point where it's like the breaking point where people are getting, like, mathematically eliminated, or they're getting, like, a lot of points, and you can see, like, where narratives are starting to go, it's making it more interesting to me, probably a little more in the blue group maybe, but I feel like the two groups are also doing different stories, yeah. which I'm interested in and I'm enjoying.
Yeah, I thought that was a good point that you had made. And I think that commentary has been doing a really good job. Like, I understand it's not actually that complicated, okay? I'm not that stupid. If I used my brain, I could think about what is happening. But I like that commentary is doing stuff like being like, this person is on the verge of being mathematically eliminated. Like, they're giving you a clear sense of the stakes. And I watch wrestling with very little of my brain, so I like that. And I like that they all have to wrestle each other. Like, it just feels like, I don't know, sometimes it's hard to get invested in tournaments because it's like someone's just going to wrestle like once or twice and then they're gone. These men are stuck with each other for the whole month of December. Yeah. And I wish that.
Yeah. I wish they had to, like, live in a house too.
Oh my God, the Connie house.
That would take it to the next level. I really wish we could get some backstage at the Connie house.
Yeah. And when you have, like, a bunch of matches in one episode too, it just makes it feel like more of a focus, which is fun too. Where you're like, right. Oh yeah, things are moving along.
Go ahead, Leah.
The only thing that I, like, kind of wish that it, like, all of the matches so far have pretty much gone like you would expect, especially like in Mox's group, where it's just sort of like, okay, so Mox is winning his group. He's absolutely, like, going to. And it's like that part is a little bit more annoying where I'm like, they could give, like, he could have lost to Roosh and still won the thing. Like, but at the same time, I get it. Like, I do get it. Like, he just lost to Orange Cassidy, and so he needs to do his big strong thing. But like, sometimes I am like a little bit like, somebody could shock me.
Yeah, I think I mean, we'll see what happens, but I feel like with Mox and Swerve both coming out really strong in that division and then, you know, going for a showdown, like that's a lot of fun to me. And then I think maybe Eddie's going to come back in the blue group. And so you've got like a really different narrative over there. And then if it's Mox, Eddie in the finals, like coming out of two really different experiences in the tournament, like I'm very activated by that as an idea. So it's like, if it was just Mox in isolation, and like if they blow it and it doesn't go that direction, then I will be like annoyed by the predictability and Mox just running over people. But I'm like very into the story as it seems to be developing.
Yeah. I'm sorry,
Allie. I keep stepping on you. I'm sorry.
Step on me, baby. You go.
It's just that I'm a little bit frustrated with Mox right now. Like, obviously, I love him and I watch his promos and I kiss him all over his face, but like, it's just that, like,
this week you don't.
when he beats up my son Roosh, the love of my life Roosh, the father of my child.
Okay.
Wow. All right. Come a long way with Roosh.
It's escalated. It's really escalated quite a bit. Yeah. But go ahead, Leah. So you're a little frustrated with Mox.
It's just, I don't know. Like, the BCC is always booked so strong and they come back from every single loss as if nothing happens. And like Roosh, now he's not just on my mind. Mox was giving promos where he's like, everybody was counting me out. Everybody thought that, like, you know, like people didn't think I could do it. Like that first promo. And I was like, nobody thought you weren't going to win that. Like at no point, nobody at any point doubted you. You're obviously going to win. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's just, they've been really, really dominant for so long that I am just sort of like, as much as I want to see a Mox Eddie showdown, like Swerve Eddie showdown would also be fun. You know what I mean? Like
I think we're
like very oversaturated on Mox for a while, whereas I feel like it hasn't bothered me for who knows why. Yeah.
Yeah, it hasn't gotten to me, because I think I'm like, on some level, I'm like, I'm just like, yeah, of course Mox is kind of the unbeatable guy. Like, I'm kind of like, what are you going to do about it? Like, of course everyone would love to beat him, but he can't be beat. I mean, and I think that maybe it's been a bit of a problem where it's like, over the past couple of years, Tony got really into like protecting guys, and we had so many men being protected at the same time, so it just felt like no one ever can lose to anybody, and that did get very frustrating across the board, and like still is frustrating sometimes, where it's like some of these men simply must lose to each other. Like, what are you going to do? But that on some level I'm just like, yeah, but Mox can't have it. Mox actually can't be so protected because he's so powerful, so he just kills him and they can't stop him. They can't stop him from doing that. And I think I'm like, I don't want Swerve with these belts. You know what I mean?
No, I don't.
I want Swerve to have like a sexy feud after this. I want him to get the real belt. I want him to do all kinds of things.
Yeah.
The Connie for me, I'm like, it's about the raw emotions of these men who are going insane in the tournament. And I need to see Mox and Eddie meet each other in that state.
Yeah. I do I want Eddie to be the winner of the blue group regardless. I like whatever's happening, like he needs to come back. To come back.
Well, and I think right now too, like if Swerve's not winning his group, which I don't want him to get the titles there, like it is better for like Mox to be really built up and just like unstoppable if he's, you know, if someone's going to beat Swerve, like that is a better situation.
From a sports perspective.
But
Leah, we're the number one stop for what did we say that we were going to be about?
Sports presentation.
What was it that we're number one stop?
What's our new tagline?
We're really the sports. We're the number one for sports. Is that what we said?
What did our friends say in the Discord
all
today? All graphs, no feelings.
No feelings. All graphs, no feelings.
We just want real graphs.
I wish I could remember who to credit for that. But it's not us. We didn't come up with it.
It was detective.
Oh, detective. Thank you, detective. We'll be using that in our new sports presentation. I was just going to say, Leah, I think you're very valid for feeling burnt out on Mott's, yeah. because we all have moments where we say, my beautiful son, I throw him in the trash. That's okay.
I'll turn on anybody in a second. For my sons?
Swerve and Mox are going to fight on Dynamite next week. They got a brief backstage promo that was really horny. Just like oh crazy God. Horny.
I feel like there's some wrestlers that like bring a real sexual energy to everything they do. Yeah. And it's like, it's Mox, it's Hangman, it's Eddie, it's Swerve. Yeah. And when yeah. any two of them get together, it's like, whoa.
And it's dangerous.
And it's yeah. really good for me that this is coming on the heels of the Hangman feud. Yeah. Because it mm-hmm. is just sort of like Mox looking at Swerve and being like, I saw what you did to Hangman out there, and I thought I made like a big impact mm-hmm. in his life, and mm-hmm. I thought we did sex violence to mm-hmm. each other in the ring, and you did, like, show me what you're made of sort of thing. Like, I don't know. It was just yeah. a really good horny energy.
I agree. And then Swerve had a post-match promo this week that also touched on that, where he was saying something like, you know, just like being like, you say that you can like break anybody or that you're so dangerous. Like, I'm so dangerous. Like, I'll see you in Texas. And it was yeah. like, oh, whoo.
Yeah. yeah. And at the end of their promo, Swerve did a little air kiss yeah. at Mox and then walked out. And then Mox stuck out his tongue stuck in like tongue. A very, it was.
The technical term is horny tongue. What I've written here.
Mm-hmm. That's what it was.
It did it for me. Yeah. I mean, come on. So we get to watch those men slam against each other's bodies or whatever we say, you know, like the stallions buck against you, you know.
You know, the stallion galloping.
You know, body. Oh, yeah, they're going to gallop wildly against each other's bodies.
Exactly.
So we get to see that. Jay White also had a post-match promo that was so unhinged.
His brain is so broke. Wrong. Like, it's broke. Someone put it in upside down.
Well, he, at the end of his match with Jay Lethal, he was literally, this shocked me. Like, you know, I couldn't believe it when I saw it. He was literally frothing at the mouth. Like, his mouth was just white with spit, which I actually loved, as you can hear from my tone. And then he cut this promo where it's like just, it's like a man on a high being like, Jay White's back. Jay White's back. He did it. It's me, Jay White. Me, Jay White did it. It's like watching a man, like, you're like, oh, he's doing so well. But the second, like, the second he breaks a nail, it's all over. Like, he is so close to the edge right now that there's no way he's not going to go over it. Yeah. And I just find that quite appealing. I'm glad they put him in this tournament so that he could open my heart up and crawl on in, weasel on in there.
I've seen people reference in New Japan that he had actual tantrums in the ring after losing, and I want to see that.
Please. I think I said during our live watch that I want to watch him have a sobbing, screaming, crying breakdown, and I want to see snot all over his face. Like, I want it to be so undignified. Okay, what else do we have in this section? Is that everything? That might be the whole gold group. Does that seem right? Yeah.
Swerve cheated a little, so it's nice to see him still being a heel.
I don't know what's going on with that, and I think no I'm like, idea. I don't feel... I haven't felt up to the challenge of interrogating it in a real sense because I'm like, the things that people are saying seem so not like I can see people's points. And then I'm like, but I don't understand it. So what not he qualified. Is alignment wise is not for me to know. That's for God to know. And maybe Tony God Khan
looks at each of us and says, heel, baby face. And that's judgment day. That's what
is that not
is.
Naughty or nice? Yeah. At the end of the day.
Yeah.
Oh my God. What if they did a little like a little Christmas episode where it's like if you're a heel you have to wear a naughty sweatshirt?
I do think that would be really helpful, honestly. Like some of the people in this goddamn company, I'm like, what actually is your alignment right now? Because I don't what is Anna Jay? Like,
you know what they should bring back? You know what they should bring back? A little
tunnel.
Yeah. A little tunnel action.
Can our podcast name please make sense again?
Yeah, please.
I love it. It's like I've never felt worried about it for a second. I'm like, people understand it.
They still know.
Oh, they still know. They still get it. Okay. So now we're going to kick it over to the blue group. This is the Collision Connie crew. They have been doing these matches and will continue to do these matches on the weekends. They are Rampage? Rampage. Rampaging? No, but the one's on Rampage. I was saying it on purpose. Rampage and Collision Girlies.
Got it.
So this week in the blue group, Brody King beat Claudio. That's gross. Andrade beat Danny Garcia. That's fucked up. And Brian Danielson beat Eddie Kingston, which fucking sucked.
Yeah. This was a real... I felt very degraded at the end of this episode. Yeah. I felt like an actual sports fan when their team loses in the playoffs, you know, yeah, which has always seemed silly to me. So,
and we had gone out of our way... Anne.
Oh, I was just going to say it's extra silly when it's fixed, you know?
Yeah, you know, right. But it's not. Is it silly? Because it's like, you know, someone did it to you.
That's
it's
true.
Like someone made me feel this way on purpose.
Yeah,
we had said last week on this podcast that we were going to watch Collision, and we did watch Collision, and we were Collision girlies together. And literally every match we watched, we felt degraded at the end of. Mm-hmm. But you know, we're not mad. We're in a good mood this week. But Brian Danielson was such a monster after he beat Eddie, and he was mocking him, and he dropped a sign on him, and he was acting like Eddie wasn't fit to lick his boots.
Did you guys watch the backstage thing where he did the promo on Bob the Crew Guy?
No, I missed it.
It was so funny. I'll have to dig it up for you. Oh, it was basically like he came out there to do like the go home thing or whatever. And the crowd was chanting for some reason. I don't know why, for Bob, the crew guy. And so Brian Danielson, who clearly thought it was really funny, just came in and started cutting like a real heel promo on Bob, the crew guy, where he's like, he knows I'm better than him. I'm better at wrestling than him. I'm taller than him. I can set up the ring better than him. It was really, really funny.
Oh, man. Like, that sounds. Yes, you will have to find that for us.
Sorry to totally derail the conversation.
Oh no, I'm glad that you shared it. I'm not sure that I have been at my sharpest tonight, so just wandering a little in my mind. The only other thing I was going to say about this was that the Brian Danielson Eddie Kingston match did make the men of the wrestling community wild and feral with pleasure. I mean, I saw them saying things like Trevor Dame's out there being like, this is the first match that's made me feel alive in a year. Like, he didn't say that, but he was like, this is the first good match of the Continental Classic. And it's just like, I liked it fine, but I really couldn't access what exactly it was that some were seeing that I was not. And is that not so often the way?
Just the way they look at us when we're in our raptures of pleasure and they say, so I don't know what's going on over there, but I'm glad they're having a good time.
That's a good reality check in. You're right. Do we not all look at each other that way sometimes? And then we say, I'm happy if you're happy. I'm happy if you're happy. Now, Eddie and Danny Garcia, so I believe what's happening is that the Collision Connie crew is running like half a week behind the gold group. So no one has been mathematically eliminated, but Eddie and Danny Garcia both have two losses. So they are both on the cusp. What do you think is going to happen with these guys?
There better be an Eddie comeback. There's got to be.
If there's Eddie's not, blood will be shed.
Dig deep inside himself and win the next three matches. And then Brian Danielson can't win another match either. Or they come... What are they doing? They're doing like the last two in each league fight each other for the... Something or other.
I don't remember.
I don't think I've gotten
Or
that
did I ever
mentally.
Know? Did I simply never know?
I think each league has two like points leaders that then have to fight each other. But I could be very wrong about that. So
that seems so right. It feels really sporty.
Really sporty. Yeah.
Yeah.
You heard point leaders and you were like,
that's
yeah,
a girl that's, who knows what she's talking about. That's gotta be right.
Yeah. And I hope Danny Garcia gets a win at least. It's like when you're playing a tennis set and you're like, well, I hope I at least lose 6-1 instead of 6-0. I just got to get the one game. So I'm not humiliated.
If he's 0, it better kick something off.
Yeah.
Because that's just my thing where it's just like, if he just continues not to have any kind of like real story, and he's just like an accessory to whatever feud he's in. It's gonna kill me. I'm like, he needs something.
He's not a purse dog, okay? You shouldn't be carrying him into stores so that girls can coo over him, okay? He's a working dog, okay?
What kind of work does he do as a dog? Is he a herd dog?
Just kind of fun work, just kind of like dancing and making people happy. He's a dancing dog.
Love that.
He's like a little circus dog. He like circus walks, dog. Sure, walks on his
walks
back
on
legs.
His back legs. Yeah, yeah. That's good.
He like he has a serious
walks on
job.
A little.
He's a circus dog.
He's a working animal. He dances on a little rubber ball. Yeah,
it's like he's wearing a little vest that says "working dog," and someone in a store is like, "Oh, that's a little service dog," and it's like he's a circus dog. He's always on the job. I wish that I could tell you this, and I'm so sorry that I can't, but do you guys know, like, what has his wrestling been like in this tournament? Like, Daddy Magic was on commentary for his match being like, it's trying to explain his stance with the dancing that still doesn't make sense. Yeah. Being like, he can dance, but he needs to win. So he's got to focus when he's fighting. But it's like, what? I think it would be a good storyline if he loses everything and has to have a come to Jesus moment, and then we get a real storyline. I think that'd be really sexy. But like, where is he at as a character that like is going to inform what that rock bottom looks like?
Daddy Magic was like, I don't care if he dances in his entrance, like he can dance on the ramp. He just shouldn't dance in the ring, which honestly, when he said that, I was like, well, you're not wrong. But like the good
that's
story,
actually a reasonable parental stance. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But a good story would have been is if he was dancing and not taking the classic seriously and Daddy Magic was yelling at him. And then like he lost everything and had to have that moment where he's like, maybe I have to take it seriously. Do I want to be a wrestler? Or do I want to be a dancer? You know, and like
Billy Elliot.
But actually, he's been wrestling fairly seriously. Like he hasn't goofed at all. He's been like his promos have been very serious. Like his first promo was like, everybody's calling me a pin eater. Everyone says that like I'm just in here, you know, so that other people can get wins, and like that bums me out. And it's just like, oh, like you really do care. You care. You deeply care about this. And for you to lose that way, it's like, oh, for what though? So for what?
So Andrade can
get wins.
What
do you need? Like, what is the thing that you don't have that is going to kick you to the next level then? Like, we have to discover that thing in this tournament.
Right.
Yeah. Narratively, we must. Yeah. What is holding him back? Tony Khan. Bring him out to the ring. He will answer for his crimes.
I'm so excited for Danny Garcia to fight Bryan Danielson and to eventually fight Eddie. Like, we're going to have
fun.
There's like a couple good matches for him.
I did think you were about to say, I can't wait to see Danny Garcia fight Tony Khan. And I was like, I mean, yeah.
It's like, yeah.
Rich told us that Don Callis could get in the ring. So listen. Maybe Tony Khan will. Yeah, we don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe so. Okay. Is there anything else you guys want to say about what's going on in the blue group before we just quickly check in on old Tony Storm?
Tony, I thought this was one of the best matches she's done.
Yeah, I really like this match. So this was on Dynamite this week. Tony Storm fought Sky Blue. There was a big pre-match excitement, which was that she was being introduced by the Turner Classic Movies channel host. His name, I can't say. Can anyone else pronounce it? Ben.
Mankiewicz?
Mankiewicz. By Ben Mankiewicz.
Probably.
which I thought was, I thought this was very funny. This was a very good use of gimmick, I thought.
Yeah. I got a huge kick out of it. And my dad, who came to the show with me a few weeks ago, like, all he watches is TCM, like, Turner Classic Movies. So I, like, texted him that this was going to happen. He's like, I'm going to record it. So he's going to watch it, which I love.
That's so funny. And I thought it's, like, it just was, it was a really, like, cleverly written, like, very short segment where it's like Ben Mankiewicz is being like acting like Tony Storm is like, you know, like a class, like, it was just like, yeah, this is great, commit to being.
Yeah, and he played it super straight. It was just like perfect.
Yeah, he did great. And then so, and then she had this match. Now Leah, do you want to speak to what you enjoyed about it?
I did think that it was like a good balance of the gimmick and actually the wrestling, like, there's no plates in her butt, for one thing, but, like, I don't know.
That's good. That's always good.
I just thought that this was, like, a pretty decent match. Like,
Yeah, it was, like, less cartoony than sometimes she does with the gimmick, for sure.
Yeah. And you know us. I mean, we're into the graps.
We love the graps. Yeah, we're sports girls.
All graps. No feelings. and so after Tony won this match, Riho ran out and kind of chased her out of the ring. She was vamping. She was doing the gimme the belt gesture. Tony got carried backstage by her butler, manservant, Luther. So I hope that Riho is going to stick around for a while and they're going to do like an actual little program. I feel like we never get to see Riho for that many weeks in a row. That would be pleasant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know. Love Riho. Would love to see her for like an actual storyline, whole thing. Would be nice.
Yeah. We also had on Dynamite Renee interviewing Mariah May and kind of questioning her about when she's actually going to debut in the ring, with Mariah May saying that she wants her debut to be glamorous, but her focus is on Tony right now. There's a little bit of the like character work stuff going on in there. Hey, Cher. And this, I do just wanted to really quickly check in on. So we didn't watch Rampage, but when I was figuring out what happened this week, I was looking into the Rampage match that was Sheeta, Chris Statlander, and Sky Blue against Anna Jay and Ruby Soho and Saraya. And I watched the Proho.
Yes.
Yes.
They should be calling that the Proho every time Ruby's out there. It's a time for a Proho.
Just having such a rough couple of weeks. I watched the promo that Saraya, Tony Storm, Saraya, Anna Jay, and Ruby Soho did. And I was so pleasantly surprised by how fun and funny it was. Jeff Parker did show up at one point, and he and Ruby were giving each other, they gave each other very good, realistic, my love interest looks. I was shocked. I loved this promo.
It was so entertaining. Saraya was like funny and charming. It came out of nowhere. I loved it.
What did she say? You're in timeout, Liza Minnelli.
Yeah. And then she was like, "Yeah, Anna, you and me were dealing with something that's big and annoying and greasy." And it was Jeff Parker. Like, loved it. Loved it.
I thought it would be, even though we didn't watch Rampage again, I thought it was good to call this out because it's so nice to watch a promo with the women where you're like, wow, the personalities are really on display. Stuff is kind of moving.
Yeah.
The storyline, Saraya and Anna Jay. Go ahead.
No, just Saraya and Anna Jay are like united because they're trying to keep like their horrible, gross faction mates from like making humping out in front of them. Yeah. Humping in front of them. It's like, that's a great alliance. And Saraya was like, Anna's so beautiful and wonderful. Like, they're best friends now. And then, yeah, the chemistry between Ruby and Jeff Parker is fantastic.
Very real. So
yeah,
I really liked it. Let's see more of that. But let's change it up a little every week. And let's go not too slow and not too fast, but at just the right speed to move that storyline along.
Is it just the right speed? You had them kind of flirting for a few weeks, and then you have a match where they're getting, you know, starting to hump. Horny. And it's distracting them, and people are pulling them apart, and then you do a little more pull apart stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. They're going to have
the right speed.
Pulled apart even more, probably in time.
Probably.
Just becoming harder and harder to pull off each other. So, on that note, is there Anything else that you wanted to talk about that I did not, that I failed to bring up? Probably, given how I'm doing right now.
It was a fun week.
Yeah, it was a really good week. Tony, if you could keep doing this, it would be great because I feel like the feeling has been restored.
Definitely. I mean, just based on kind of how off the rails some parts of this podcast went today, like, yeah, the feeling's back, baby. The feeling is back.
The feeling is back, but I don't know that the brains are.
No, my brain is.
They're not coming back. Gone. I don't think.
No, I think that one's gone for good. Okay, well, I think we'll leave it there. I've been Allie.
I've been Ann.
And I've been Leah.
It's always Tunnel Talk. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter, Tunnel Talk Pod, Tumblr, Tunnel Talk Pod, via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And come on back next week.